what? I'm so excited that God is doing things. We are hearing just different reports around the world, and the Spirit of God is moving. And we want the Spirit of God to be always present here. Amen. So this morning, as I'm doing this message, make room for a miracle. Make room for a miracle. Amen. It's miracle time. We don't serve God just for miracles. We serve God because of who He is. And because of who He is, He gives us the blessings. The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. But it says, seek first to seek His face. And when you seek His face, in His hands are pleasures forevermore. So anyway, praise the Lord. So everybody has one, okay? Are you making room for your miracle? I thought this was an interesting story about the Shunammite woman. It's an awesome story. So let's get into 2 Kings 4:8. But before we do, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Open our ears to hear. Let it be revelation. Let it change us from glory to glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at 2 Kings 4:8 to 10. It says, one day Elijah went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived, who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. Let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up to the outside stairs and rest here. One day he came and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? I like this. Would you like to be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. Now let me stop there. As we're reading this story about this woman, Elijah's passing by, but what I want to show you there is, what she was saying is, hey, I'm fine, everything's cool, you know what? I live in a town, I know people, resources, stuff. Let me say this. Sometimes we say, you know what, Lord, I'm okay. You know what, I'm okay, I'm blessed. I don't need anything, you know. You don't want to ask God. You're scared to say something to the Lord, you know, whether you need something. And so this is what this lady was doing. I mean, Elijah was saying, what do you need? He said, I'll go to the king. I'll go to the government. The Roman soldiers were guarding the place at the time and were settled there. I'll go to them. Anything you need, I can get for you. Because he had influence. He said, nah, everything's cool. I like this. He didn't give up. Later, Elijah said, what then is to be done for you? Gehazi answered, she has no child and her husband is old. He said, call her. Gehazi called her and she stood in the doorway. Elijah said, at this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. Ooh. But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season, the following year, as Elijah had said to her. Wow, powerful. Now, it's a great story of the account of Elijah and the Shunammite woman. This woman noticed that the man of God walked by every day. So she convinced him to have a meal with her in the home. And so as Elijah walked by, then the woman finally eventually convinced her husband to build a small apartment for Elijah. Now, I looked up the word Shunem, the village. You know what Shunem means? It means double resting place, to rest quietness. Somebody in here, let me say this, you need to learn to relax and rest. That's all I know. Learn to relax and rest. Sometimes you just got to say no. Sometimes people make demands on your life and they will run you ragged. Learn to say no and don't feel guilty about it. Oh. So we see here double resting place to rest quiet. Look at Matthew 11:28. This is what Jesus said. Some of you need this morning. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. The Passion says this, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Isn't that just like a refreshing drink of cold ice water? Ah, that's what the Lord wants to be to you and me. See, this Shunammite woman made a place of rest and refreshing for Elijah. Listen, we as God's children all should be, we should be a people that make a place for others in our lives to be refreshed. Write this down. We need to be a refreshing to one another. We need to be a refreshing to one another. We need to refresh one another. We live in a world, people, that wants to beat you down, wants to just take everything from you, wants to just abuse you, and we need to refresh each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. We need to pray for one another. This is what it's all about. We get enough garbage coming against us while we're out there in the workforce. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of you may be working with employees that are very difficult to work with. And you need refreshness. Amen. You need a refreshing. You need encouragement. That's yours and my job for each other. How can I refresh you? How can I encourage you? How can I bless you? Look at Acts 27:3. The following day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul in a loving way. Now, Paul was a prisoner going to Rome on the ship. With much consideration, kindness, and care, permitting him to go to his friends there and be refreshed and cared for. There's nothing like having friends that refresh you. But also sometimes you can have friends that they just are so negative that they just drain the life out of you. You don't need those people in your life. Love on them, hug them, but leave them go. Because they will drain the sustenance out of you. What you need is people that will refresh you. They will speak. They will just pray for you. They will just encourage you. They will build you up. And that's what we need. We all need that. Romans 15:32. Let's look at this, people. So that by God's will, I may subsequently come to you with joy, with a happy heart. And be what? Refreshed by the interval of rest in your company. Holly, was it real refreshing? Yes, it was. And if we don't take the time to get away, we're never going to be refreshed. Sometimes you've got to take the time. Well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. You need to learn to relax. You need to relearn to get away and trust God to bring it in so that you can get away. You see what I'm saying? Because it's so important that we refresh. And then when we're refreshed, we can refresh others. The Passion says, and I will be spiritually refreshed by your fellowship. Fellowshipping with people that refresh you. Fellowshipping with people. My mercy. Sometimes you can get around family, and thank God my family's not like that refreshing, but there's families, you get around them, and oh my God, you walk away from the holiday or whatever it is, and you're going, I need to go get along with God. I need to shake this off because there's so much drama and turmoil. And they may not be saved. They may not understand. But there's something about fellowshipping with people that want to just refresh you with kindness. Even sometimes you don't have to say a word, but just being in their presence, in their company, is so refreshing. Amen? You know people like that? There's a lot of people. You guys are like that to me. You really are. And I thank God for the refreshing that I can be around every person and feel refreshed and encouraged. Now listen, because the woman made a place of rest and refreshing for Elijah, she was rewarded for her faithfulness. Listen, God sees everything. He does not forget even giving somebody a glass of cold water in his name. As a result of her kindness, Elijah called the woman through the servant Gehazi, and he asked her of what she wanted. She replied in short that she could not see a child, basically. Elijah prophesied to her and that she would have a child the very next year, and she did. Now the Shunammite woman made room for her miracle. How did she make room for a miracle? Write this down. She made room for her miracle, people, by making room for God's servant. She was, in fact, making room for the miraculous power of God in her life. Miraculous power of God in her life. You know, how you treat people is how you're going to receive from the Lord. Did I say that? How you treat people, how you treat ministers and how you treat men of God is how you're going to be blessed. It doesn't make them any better than you, but it puts them in a different position in God's eyes to do what he's called them to do. Never be disrespectful to men of God, whether you agree or disagree, but always pray for them, always lift them up, always build them up. Whether you agree or disagree, God really slapped me around on that in a good way. When I say that, I mean in a good way, loving way. But sometimes we can get so critical of other people, and ministers can be very critical of other ministers. And the Lord dealt with me about that, and I changed my whole thinking, my whole outlook, because you know what? They're doing the same thing that I'm doing. They're trying to do the same thing by ministering. Now, what do I mean by that? When I mean by years ago, you know, you had all these different people and all these other things happening in the 80s and happening in the 90s where you had a lot of ministers and evangelists falling away from the Lord and getting into sin and televangelists and all that. And it was easy to be very critical. Or we become critical of those that do it different than we do. But you know what? It's okay. We pray for them. We lift them up and we pray blessings on them. Lord, bless them. Bless them. And you know, so when I'm around people that are critical of other ministers, other ministries, I basically say, well, let's just pray. Let's just pray for them. And let's bless them and bless their ministry, because that'll shut that down real quick. But here we see a situation. The woman discerned that Elijah was a man of God and that he carried the presence and the power of God. You've been in services where the power of God has been present, where God has used somebody to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And I tell you what, when you tap a hold of that and you get in on that, I'm telling you, the miraculous power is there to heal. Because God uses you and me to bring healing and restoration to other people because of the anointing that's in us. The anointing that's in us. So she understood, she said, this guy's a holy man. There's something different about him, the power of God. And I'll tell you what, she took advantage of it. She really did. She took advantage of that. And she got a miracle. Why? Because he was representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The miracle came through from God to her. She inconvenienced herself for the sake of God's holy man, and God rewarded her. She went above and beyond to do something for the man of God, and God blessed her for it. How you treat men and women of God is how you will move forward in your life. Treat with respect and honor each other, because we're made in the image of God. And we need to be respected and honored because of who we are in Christ. Amen. We're kings and priests and priestesses and of the high and the most high God. Look at Galatians 5, 13 and 14. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a church that's in love with each other, you're going to have a powerful, powerful church. You're going to have miracles, signs, and wonders like you've never seen before. When people come in unity and they begin to love each other, hey, I didn't say we weren't going to have differences. How many know that in family you have differences, but you still love each other? Because blood is still thicker than water. You may not agree. I may not agree with a lot of things in my family and Harp and stuff about it, but I do love them dearly, and we can agree on some things to disagree, whatever, but the agreement that we have is Jesus Christ. Amen? So it says right here, to be servants of one another. Freedom is getting away from self-indulgence. I have found this, that sometimes we're so miserable, it's because we're not giving out to somebody else. You want to feel free? Start serving somebody. Start beginning to serve somebody. Start to bless somebody. Start to step out of your box and step out of yourself. And when you do that and you start serving and blessing other people, you're going to feel free inside, so free. It works because that's what we're called to do. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. When he girded himself with a towel and he kneeled down before the disciples, I'll tell you what, pride rose up. Peter goes, no, you're not washing my feet, man. God said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part and I have no part with you. What he was trying to demonstrate to Peter was that the kingdom of God is not about position and authority and how high you can get into the position. It was about serving and washing each other's feet. Spiritually, when we wash each other's feet, it means that we minister to one another. That's what washing feet is. We minister to one another. We serve one another. We build each other up. We encourage each other. So when Jesus washed their feet, it changed the disciples. I don't think they ever forgot that. But Jesus said this, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, see, if you want to be great in the world, you got to fight for prestige, you got to fight for money, you got to fight for power, you got to fight for all these things, just like Hollywood does. Let me tell you, Hollywood's miserable. They're so miserable. You think because they have money and they have all this, or why you think there's so many of them are on drugs and so many are they're committing suicide and they're so messed up in their lives. Why? Because I'll tell you why. It's because they want prestige, they want power, they want all these things, but they don't have God. A lot of them are finding God. But when you learn to realize who you are in the kingdom, that he said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. In the world we live in, it's the opposite. But if you really want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, you have to be the greatest servant of all. Learning how to serve. See, leadership is not about power and authority. It's about servanthood. If a person can't serve and serve you and encourage you and love you, they don't need to be in a leadership position. But it's the opposite. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus do it? Look at verse 14. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. How many have neighbors that are just unruly? Don't lift your hand. Pray for them. How many have good neighbors? Now listen. What do? You find a way to serve them. There was a guy that He still lives across the street, way in the other part. And I found out, I think he found out as a minister, and then he wouldn't even talk to me. I thought, okay, Lord, how do I do this? I just prayed for him. So what I did one time is when he was gone, he didn't know who plowed out his driveway. I'd plow out his driveway all the time. And one time his wife got stuck early in the morning, and I saw him, and I went over there, and I helped him push her out. And the next time I saw him in the street, I mean, he talked a mile a minute. I mean, he was talking. No, I didn't do it just because I wanted to be seen or anything like that. I did it because it was the right thing to do. To serve someone else that may not like you, but you serve them anyway. Because there's something about that softness that turns away wrath. Proverbs says a soft answer, whatever it is, turns away wrath. And doing things, loving our neighbors, loving those people that rub you the wrong way, or they might push your buttons. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you got to pray, Lord, help me to love. Give me love. Help me to love. Amen. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. It's easy to love each other when you agree with me. It's easy to love each other as Christians because, you know, we just love each other. But it's hard sometimes to love the person that's the opposite of you. And sometimes it's easy to be critical. And that's when you have to look and you have to say, Lord, help me to love through your eyes. Am I perfected in love? No. But we're working on it. Amen. We're all working on it. We're working on it. Every day we work on it. And you find out what your character's really like when it comes to things like this. Let me give you an illustration of somebody that prepared herself. Remember the woman with the issue of blood that was bleeding for 12 years? She prepared herself, made room for the anointed one, Jesus' miraculous power to do a miracle. She prepared herself. Look at Matthew. How did she prepare herself? For she kept saying to herself. You know how do you prepare for a miracle? Keep the negative out and start speaking the positive. This woman here prepared herself to receive a miracle because she kept saying, hey, there's a man of God in town, Jesus. She probably heard Jesus was in town. And she kept saying to herself, if I can just touch the tallit, the tassel on the robe that was sewn into Jesus' robe, if I could just touch it, I'll be healed. Every strand was 613 commandments. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the tallit, if I can just touch the word of God, I'll be healed. She prepared herself. She crawled through the crowd trying to get to Jesus because she had never got there. Made a fool out of herself. But she was preparing herself for a miracle. Sometimes preparing yourself will cost you. People will make fun of you. They might ridicule you. But you hold your ground. And she crawled through the crowd. Now get this, everybody was thronging Jesus. They were touching him. They were all over him. And the woman reached and she touched the word of God. And she got a miracle of healing. Jesus stops and he goes, who touched me? Peter's looking at him like, okay, God. You got the whole crowd thronging you and you saying, who touched me? No, Jesus said. He said, I felt virtue leave my body. He said, I felt the power, the miraculous power leave my body. So who touched me? And the woman comes up all trembling in fear because she touched him. Now, according to Levitical law, a woman that is hemorrhaging has no right to touch anybody. It's against the law. She defied all the odds of the law, and she went to a higher law. She was not supposed to even touch Jesus because of the issue of blood. Read Leviticus. And she defied all that and prepared herself and made room for a miracle. Now, I'm not saying disobey the laws of the land, but I'm saying there's a higher law, and that's God's law. So when you reach out beyond Brenda the doctor's law, and you say, Jesus, I'm touching you in your law. It's a higher law. That's where the miracle comes from. She kept saying to herself, if I could just touch his prayer shawl, I would be healed. Just then, Jesus turned around and looked at her and said, my daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has healed you. And instantly, she was healed. What a miracle. What miracle are you expecting from God? What is it that you want God to do for you people? To do for your life? Ponder that for just a second. See, the apartment or the room represents our hearts. She prepared a place for Elijah, but those represent our hearts. Have you made room in your heart to receive what God has for you? Or have we filled our hearts with so many things that are not important? Too many people are asking God for a miracle, but they haven't made room for him to work in their lives. God, help us to make room in our hearts and our lives for you to do a miracle. Open the doors of your heart and let him in to do his work in you. Let God do his work. Write this down, people. The attitude of expectancy is the atmosphere for the miraculous. Isn't that the truth? Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to him. For my hope and my expectation are from him. My hope and my expectations are from him. When everything else fails in life, there's God. But God. When everything falls apart and it seems like you there's no hope, you don't know what to do, there's God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God, making room for God to do a miracle in you. Are you preparing for expecting a miracle this morning, people? Every day when you get up, you should always expect God to do something supernatural in your life that day. When you get up, you should say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What are we going to do today? What you got planned for me? Instead of getting up, oh my golly, I got to go to work. I got to punch the clock. Lord, what are we going to do today at work? While I'm working, I can be praying for others. I can be interceding. I can be doing things to help others, to encourage others. Every day when you wake up, expect God to do something great. Demonstrate this expectation by preparing yourself for the very thing that you want God to do. What do you want God to do for you? And prepare for that miracle. You got to do it. You can't just say, okay, God, whatever. There's got to be faith involved in it, because faith is action. Demonstrate that. What do you need God to do for you? Have you made room in your heart for a miracle? Have you gone out of your way to serve others, to wash their feet spiritually? Prepare them by encouraging them to be all that they can be for God's kingdom. Preparing them by encouraging them to be all they can be, just as the Shunammite woman did for Elijah. And you know what? She was rewarded for her diligence. See, God doesn't, he sees everything. He sees those that work behind the scenes that don't get a lot of recognition. He sees them. And we should recognize and honor each other, thanking each other for what we do and the things that we do for him in the kingdom. We can't thank each other enough. God sees all. And the Bible says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus said this, when you refuse to help one of the least important among these little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you refuse to help and honor me. When we get to heaven one day, it's not going to be how good I was. It's going to be mostly because my goodness is based on Jesus. Anybody, you know what? I'm going to be, did I love? I'll never forget when the evangelist went to heaven and God said, no, you have to go back. I've listened to this guy speak before. Very prophetic man. The Lord sent him back. But when he was in heaven, he saw these people standing before the Lord, and the Lord asked each of them a question. He didn't ask them how good they were and all the things. He asked them, did you learn to love my people? That was the only thing he was asking each one of them. Did you learn to love my people? And what God is asking us is that we would learn to love each other in such a way that would keep each other accountable before the Lord, but not only that, but encouraged and lifted up before God. And I never forgot that when he said that. Lord, teach us to love the way that you loved. Psalm 57:2, let me close with this. I will cry to God Most High, who performs on my behalf and rewards me, who brings to pass his purposes for me and surely completes them. That's the God we serve. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. God wants to reveal his miraculous power in your life. Is your heart enlarged, and are you confidently expecting God to move in your life with great anticipation? Do we believe it? Begin to believe this morning, people, and declare that you're walking in God's miraculous power in every area of your life. Begin to believe and declare that God has room in your life, in your heart, to manifest his power and his grace. Begin to believe that. Believe that God's plan for in you is awesome, that God's destiny is awesome. But you're the one that has to change that. God's got a great destiny for you. Help believe God to fulfill that. God has great promises and blessings in store for each and every one of us. Ask God to open your spiritual eyes to divine opportunities. Keep your spiritual ears open to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you at this time and at all times. Listen to his sweet voice. Reach out by faith, people, and receive your miracle now in the name of Jesus by preparing your hearts for what God has for you. Amen? Believe. But you've got to allow and prepare to receive what God has for you. See, the problem I found out is not on God's part. It's on my part. It's never on God's end. It's always on my end. So as I prepare my heart and prepare my life to receive what God has for me, it's not based on us. Because if it was based on us, we'd never get anything from God. Amen? But it's based on his love and his compassion and his grace and his mercy It's based on the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and wipes it all away. That's what it's based on. If you can believe that God loves you so much that he wants to bless you beyond you want to be blessed, that's what God wants to do. See, the enemy wants to lie to us and say, you're not worthy, you just don't match up enough. You just missed it the other day, you know. You fell short. Well, if it was all based on that, we would never be able to even talk to God. But it's based on the forgiveness and the love of God. And people, if we will take a hold of that revelation that God wants to do a miracle in you and through you, you're going to be healed. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be saved. You're going to be set free by the power of God. So, Lord, help us to prepare, like the Shunammite woman prepared a place for the man of God. Help us to prepare a place for Jesus, the man, the most holy God, that we can receive that miracle-working power in our life. Father, thank you. Let's pray. Keith, you have a song you want to close with? Father, we thank you so much. As we worship the Lord, people, this last song, let's just begin to reflect and say, Lord, there is things in even my heart that I need to change. There's clutter in my room and I need to clear it out. God knows.